from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
Well, hello, everyone. That's right. You're listening to the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, husband, and homeschool dad. On this weekend show, we'll be looking at school safety, America's Russia connection, and Mississippi's abortion restriction. One of the most respected education secretaries of the past 40 years is President Ronald Reagan's education secretary, Dr. Bill Bennett. Dr. Bennett joined Family Research Council President Tony Perkins on Tuesday to talk about what can be done to make schools safer.
With us now is Bill Bennett, former secretary of the Department of Education from 1985 to 1988. He's the author of The Book of Virtues, one of my favorite, among many, many other titles. In fact, one of his more recent ones is Tried by Fire, an excellent book, which we've had him on the program talking about before. He is one of America's most important, influential, and respected voices on culture, political, and educational issues. He was also the drug czar for the president, President Reagan, as well. Joining us now is Dr. Bennett himself. Bill, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, but you left out the most important thing, honored by your organization. I mean, my goodness.
That's our leadership award.
What a great evening. What a great night. Anyway, thank you.
That was one way I could make sure that you were there and I could listen to you speak, because I just you are one of my favorite speakers. Every time you you talk, you're a wealth of knowledge.
Thanks.
And I like to see your wife, too.
You betcha.
Like me, you married up.
I know. That's for sure. That's for sure. She's really working it. She's in the schools, actually. Not a bad place to start our conversation.
It is. In fact, that's one of the reasons I have you on, because you see this from a holistic perspective. It's not just a matter of controlling instruments of violence, but it's shaping the character of the kids as well as shaping the culture.
Elaine Bennett, running the Best Friends Foundation, was doing, at the very moment of that shooting, was doing a seminar in inner city Washington called Stop the Silence, End the Silence, Prevent the Violence. If you see something, say something. If you hear trouble coming from a student, tell a responsible adult. You know, one of the interesting things overlooked in Parkland is that when the shooting started, a number of the students said, "Oh, that's Cruz. That's Nick Cruz." They know who it was. Of course, the breakdown of the system there in all the ways that have been chronicled, you know, from FBI, local police, to counseling services, to all the other things, that's the first and most obvious candidate. When you have all these things in place and they all seemingly broke down at the same time, it wasn't going to be long before you had trouble. But I'd step back because, as you said, cultural issues. One other thing that hasn't been commented on, Tony, of the 27 shootings of this sort that we've had in the last couple of decades, to use your reference point, six of them were done by young men who did not grow up with their biological fathers. So you won't hear much of that on TV or in the newspapers, but I think it's an important factor. And by the way, if you were making a Hollywood movie in the history of this, no doubt Hollywood would have half the shooters being women and the other half being men. But of course, in reality, they were all men, all boys. Just a couple of cultural guideposts there.
You know, not to put any, you know, not to say anything here, but you were Secretary of Education shortly after I graduated from high school. In the last 30 years, the cultural social indicators have only gotten worse. Mm-hmm. How do we work our way back from this? I mean, when parents, you know, are putting their kids on school buses and literally they you know, kissing them, not knowing if they're going to make it home. I mean, it's become that bad.
Yeah, well, let me be fair and correct something I said earlier, or at least qualify it. Schools may be places that have, you know, lost God and lost spirituality, lost a good and decent and moral ethos. They may be unmoored and, you know, not grounded in anything important and serious. But this was an outsider. This was a guy who was out of the school, as was the situation in other cases. I mean, look at the murderer in Charleston who went into the church. Look at the murderer in Sandy Hook. What do you see here? You see a pattern. These were boys who were seriously neglected, abused, abandoned, maltreated, and you're going to have trouble with a certain percentage of such boys. I remember a thing that stayed in my mind. I'll say to you, as a Marine, you're a Marine, right? I have a son who's a Marine.
I know.
Boys will grow up, guy told me, boys will grow up to be Marines or Bloods and Crips. He said, well, actually, most of them will end up in the middle. But, you got to take care. You know, the architecture of the soul, which is a phrase I like very much, and we need to pay attention to it. And, I know they're going to talk about weapons, and they're going to talk about, background searches and all that, and that's fine. And I don't think schools should be the only places in America, that advertise we're gun-free, because the crazy guy with a gun knows he's not going to face anything.
And most of them are cowards. And most of them, by the way, are cowards.
Sure, sure. And they'll walk the other way, but then they'll find something else.
Yeah.
Think of Charleston. There's a lot they can recommend. Former military in the schools. Yes, if teachers or coaches have training, sure. But the real remedy is to grow more civilized, and to grow more civilized means to take care in the raising of young people, and that means moral and spiritual development as well as anything else, everything else.
Yeah, we can't just address the symptoms. I think if we're really going to get a handle on this, we've got to go to the cause. And I actually think this president is more open. If people will make a informed, educated presentation to him of what needs to happen based upon the social sciences, I think this president will be open to it.
Yeah, I mean, he's got great instincts on a lot of things, as you know. And I think if we get the right people, I'm worried about commissions. I don't know how many I've seen, Tony. How many have you seen? And this president actually, during the campaign, railed against commissions. He said, time for commissions is over. Well, maybe the swamp has struck back here on this one. But if it's a good commission and they talk about real things, which is the condition of our young people and the condition of the culture, fatherlessness, the opiate epidemic. We're going to have more real serious problem children because of this horrible epidemic. And these are the things that need to be addressed. This is why we have trouble and fear, I think.
Well, I don't know if they have. Maybe they have. The administration hasn't reached out to you. I certainly want to encourage them to do this because I do think that your holistic understanding of the problem and approach to solving it is much needed. And, you talk about the architecture of the soul. I think the best way to deal with that is go back to the architect. And there's very clear guidance of what we need as human beings. And as you point out, the tragedy of so many of these young boys who grow up without fathers, either physically absent or emotionally absent, I mean, something is going to fill the void in their life. And,
and
if it's not the right thing, it's going to end up maybe not in a public tragedy like the shooting in Parkland, but it's played out time and time again upon the personal tragedy of lives lived unfulfilled.
Yep, nature abhors a vacuum, and so does the developing soul. If it's not filled with the right things, it'll be filled with the wrong things. That phrase, I love you, heard me say it. Successful life, the forces of composition have to outweigh the forces of decomposition. The greatest force of composition in the world, of course, is what you've talked about, our belief in God and our belief that there are certain ways we are supposed to live and certain ways we are not supposed to live.
Dr. Bill Bennett, always great to talk with you, my friend. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, Tony. Semper Fi.
All right. Semper Fi.
If you want to find out more about Dr. Bill Bennett, head over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. Also, I want to invite you to be a part of keeping Washington Watch on the air by going to TonyPerkins.com and making a tax-deductible contribution. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with a look at Russian collusion.
What is the purpose of the military? To fight and win wars. The Obama administration abandoned this basic, common sense principle by allowing those who identify as transgender to serve. Thankfully, the Trump administration has announced plans to stop this policy from negatively affecting the military's true purpose. Recently, Representative Vicky Hartzler has championed this cause in Congress. Go to frc.org/speakers to watch Congresswoman Hartzler share congressional insight on this issue.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, David Salkeld. This past week, the House of Representatives finished up their investigation into the Russian collusion allegations that have been leveled against the Trump administration. Representative Brad Wenstrup is a member of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, and he joined Tony on Wednesday to discuss their committee's report.
Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it.
I understand you've just stepped off the floor to join us as the House is voting. Before we get into the Russian probe and the report by the House Intelligence Committee, give us an update. Earlier today, the House voted on the Stop School Violence Act, passed overwhelmingly. What's in the bill? What will it do?
Well, this is a bill that would reauthorize, modify, expand the Department of Justice program that awards grants to state and local governments so that they can improve their security. These grants really go to schools that can make an evidence-based investment into the operation of school threat assessment to help schools to be prepared to intake and triage threats and try and prevent from tragedy from striking. It puts in place reporting systems for students that want to engage with law enforcement if they see something. There's training, technical assistance for students and for the school personnel and law enforcement. And really, you know, the key is to identify warning signs of violence and intervene early and prevent things like the horrific attacks that we have seen and more recently down in Florida, which has obviously been very emotional for the whole country to see this taking place.
My take on the bill as I look through it is that it basically tried to fill some gaps in our current structure, focused on mental illness reporting. This is not the measure that some would have in trying to restrict gun ownership and that sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, this is interesting because Mr. Rutherford, who comes from law enforcement to put this bipartisan bill together, he did it before the last shooting took place. And so this just brought it more to the forefront, and I think we were pleased to bring it to the floor of the House today and get it passed.
And I would imagine that given the backdrop of what happened in Florida, that this will be taken up in the Senate and passed in the Senate?
Well, I'll be honest with you, Tony, I never know what the Senate's going to do, to be honest with it. But you would think that this would be something that would make it to one of the tops of the list.
Yep. Yeah. Well, Congressman Wenstrup, let's talk about you're on the House Select Committee on Intelligence. After months of looking into this, the committee released a report that says there is no evidence to suggest that there was collusion between the Trump campaign and Russian officials.
That's right. You know, this has been going on for 14 months. We've looked at over 300,000 documents. We've had 73 interviews. And it's been kind of exhausting, and we've spent time with some people for 9 hours or so, and just really nothing that we're finding there. Now, we've made some recommendations to protect our elections going forward into 2018, and we're going to put out some findings. There were some things that maybe some people should not have done. We point that out. But there's no evidence of collusion with really either campaign, unless you consider that the dossier that was used, that was paid for by the Clinton campaign and the Democrat National Committee, included Russian and supposedly included some Russian intelligence in that, and that was an anti-Trump document. So, but other than that, we really have not seen any evidence of out and out colluding with the Russians. Now, do we see where the Russians have tried to engage and to create dysfunction in our society? Absolutely. We absolutely do. And we would agree with a lot of that, but we do disagree with the conclusion that Putin favored Trump. I mean, that's really what we found, is that they presumed Clinton would be the winner, and so they went, and you would say, I guess they were for Bernie Sanders in the primary, and then for Donald Trump as he won the Republican primary. But really, it was the effort to create disarray than really having a favorite in the race.
Well, Congressman Winstrup, your colleagues on the other side of the aisle have expressed outrage and vow to fight on continuing investigating this, making this an issue. Has this become now more of a political issue than it really is a legitimate investigation?
No, it seems like it to me. To be honest with you, the impression I was getting is that there were those that wanted to just keep this going as long as they possibly could to keep it on the political radar. You know, outside of the Intelligence Committee room for the last 14 months, there have been every day cameras and a podium. And every day it would be the other side going out to the cameras and the podium. Today, when we went down there, they were not there. So, look, we have an investigative role at times. We have oversight role all the time. If there's some new evidence or something that you want to bring forward that we should take a look into, then we will do that. But we have not seen evidence of collusion, and yet we've heard for the last 14 months from the other side that they say they've got evidence of collusion, yet they have failed to bring it to us in the committee. So we're going to go through the process of getting it ready, let them take a look at it. If they want to add their own, that's fine. And we want to get it to our colleagues in the House and then go through the process where we may have an unclassified version that the public can see.
So, Congressman Winstrup, in this process of the 14 months of the investigation, the hearings that you held, the 72 interviews that I believe you said that you did, this was not just the Republican members. This was the Republican and Democrats that were involved in this process, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And we were bringing in the people that they suggested that they wanted to interview. But the list was just getting, to me, further and further away from anything. And we're just not finding anything there. Now, we are not involved with the Mueller investigation. That is a separate thing. We're not supposed to know what he's doing. And we don't know. So that's fine. But this is where we are at this point. And you can call it an initial report if you want. If there's something else that comes up that we need to look into, we will. I can tell you that we conducted ourselves very professionally, willing to accept if there were misdeeds done by Republicans and collusion with Republicans at any level. We were willing to embrace that, but we haven't seen that.
So what is the next step with this report, Congressman?
Well, the next step is we have about 10 days or so. It will be next week sometime, later next week. The Democrats have an opportunity to review it and either create their own report or sign off on ours or add an appendix to ours. We'll see what they decide to do. And that'll take place in about 8 or 9 days, I guess, maybe 10 days.
And then that will be forwarded to the full House?
Yes, and then we'll vote to forward it to the entire House, right.
So what do you anticipate the Democrats doing, providing their own counter report? What do you think they'll do at this point?
Well, I think it'll be somewhat similar to when we had our memo on another topic, basically. But they're going to present some of their concerns, but I don't think they're going to be able to produce any evidence of collusion. And I think they're going to continue to say that this should have gone on further, but again, if they have something that they feel relevant that we should take a look into, we'll consider that.
All right. I know they just called votes for you on the House floor, so I want to let you get down there and do the work for your constituents. Congressman Brad Winstrup, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks for being on the program.
You bet, Tony. You have a great evening. Thanks.
If you want to find out more about Representative Winstrup, just head on over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. Also, a quick reminder that your generous contributions to Family Research Council enable us to continue making these programs available, and you can donate when you visit TonyPerkins.com. We'll be right back with a look at progress on the abortion front.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council here in Washington, and we're defending and advancing the things that matter most, faith, family, and freedom. Please stand with us right now. Our work depends on people like you who truly care about the future of our nation. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling toll-free 800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008 or at TonyPerkins.com.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Earlier this week, the Mississippi State Legislature passed the most pro-life bill in America, restricting abortion after the 15th week of gestation. On Thursday, Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant joined Tony to talk about that bill as it awaited his signature.
Governor, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, thank you, Tony. Glad to be with you as always.
Well, Governor, once again, the state of Mississippi leading the way on protecting faith, family, and freedom, in this case, protecting unborn children.
You know, I'm so very proud, Tony. Oftentimes when you hear the national narrative about Mississippi, it's always something about being in last place. And I have to fight that because most of the time it's not true. They're taking information from some think tank, liberal think tank. But now we can say we are leading the nation in protecting the unborn. This 15-week ban will be the most protective language for the unborn. And as you know, with our Religious Freedom Act, we have some of the strongest opportunities because of our law to protect individuals and businesses from an overbearing government because they are expressing their religious freedom. So I am so proud to be the governor of this great state. I see when, and as we all do, you have to occasionally look online to see what the tweets and what Facebook and all those other things are doing. And I see in humor how the left, the liberals, say in such disgust that Mississippi is, the governor has actually said he wants to make Mississippi the safest state in America for the unborn. And they tweet it like in horror. How could he have said that? Well, let me say it again. I want to make Mississippi the safest state in America for the unborn, and House Bill 1510 is a step in the right direction.
Well, Governor, I once again commend you on your leadership on this, because what we've seen actually, when you look at the economic numbers, those states that protect religious freedom and put a high price on human beings, it spills over into the economic growth of a state. And I think under your leadership, I think we've seen Mississippi grow. I mean, unfortunately, it's becoming a little too competitive for Louisiana.
I have to laugh because, yeah, you have to look carefully to find out that we've got record low unemployment, the lowest unemployment in Mississippi, 4.6%, since unemployment began to be recorded in the 1970s. You won't see that printed anywhere in any of the media in Mississippi. And also, you see income rates going up fairly dramatically, so more people are working, they're making more money, more children are graduating from high school than ever before, more children are reading on a third grade level than ever before. We have charter schools now. If I could get universal school choice, this would be the most progressive education state in America, while we are protecting the unborn children of this great state, many of whom are minorities, many of whom are female, obviously many that are at 15 weeks moving in their mother's womb. They are kicking, they have developed taste buds, their eyelids are moving, their hands and feet have been formed. This is a human being at 15 weeks, and we are going about protecting women, protecting minorities from being torn apart during one of these horrible later-term abortions.
Governor Bryant, how do you think this might influence other states as you've taken this bold stand going to the point of, you know, we've had the debate over, you know, 20 weeks, 5 months. Now you're moving it down to 15 weeks and saying this is the line.
Right.
How do you think this might influence other states?
I hope it encourages them. I'm sure we will have a lawsuit filed immediately. I'll be signing.
That doesn't scare you. That doesn't seem to scare you. You've been there many times before.
Tony, I think I may hold a Southeastern record for being sued by the ACLU. I think they have my name already on the computer screen, and they just write what they want to sue me about. But that's fine. Now, I wear that as a badge of honor, and we'll be sued on this one. But I hope it gives them courage. I hope that they will realize that if we can win this, and I think we will, we'll go to the Fifth Circuit, which is traditionally more conservative on appeal than some of the others around the nation. And if we go all the way to the Supreme Court, we're willing to do that. Now, our Attorney General, our Democratic Attorney General, said, oh, this is going to be a lengthy and expensive lawsuit. And my question immediately was, what price can you put on the life of a child? And so when other governors, I hope, begin to realize that they are in the business of protecting the unborn children, that we have an important and legitimate interest, a legal, important, legitimate interest in protecting unborn children, they will step up and follow Mississippi's lead.
Well, courage breeds courage, and as we have recognized you in times past for your courage for standing up for religious freedom, once again, we applaud you and recognize you for your courage and the courage of the lawmakers there in Mississippi to stand up for the unborn. And once again, Governor Bryant, is grateful for you and for your leadership.
Well, Tony, thank you.
You can find more on all of the topics we talk about on Washington Watch when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues affecting your faith, family, and freedom. And if you find the weekend edition of Washington Watch informative and useful, we'd encourage you to tell your friends about Washington Watch. You can help us reach more people with this radio ministry by supporting our efforts and heading over to TonyPerkins.com and clicking on the donate button. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.